Cynthia. Item 5, Lands 2020 Briefing. And this will be Cynthia's condensed version.
This will be the condensed version that I said might be about 10 minutes. I'm not the best with time management, so
I allocated you 15, so...
Well, I'm waiting for the cutoff. good morning, Chair Carpenter, Commissioners, Director Suzwin. Happy to be here this morning to talk with you about Lands 2020. This is our process to determine which lands out there we may be looking at pursuing funding for long-term commitment ownership. This is a briefing. As you know, every month when we come to you, we actually don't have any today, but we come to you with the final decision on a purchase. This is very, very early in the process before we have to have a director's permission, basically approval, to pursue funding for any of these transactions. So as you know, we manage our lands for, you know, in service to our mission for the people of the state of Washington, for access for fishing, hunting, and other wildlife-related recreation, to foster experiences and exploration, and to preserve our natural and cultural heritage. This basically says the same thing, so I'm going to keep going. we ask ourselves a lot of questions when we look at the very serious long-term permanent commitment to land ownership and management. We look for, we only work with willing sellers. We collaborate with partners. We look for, what we ask whether or not our land ownership is the best conservation alternative. We look at whether or not conservation easements are an opportunity instead of fee title ownership. We are looking for lands that provide long-term opportunities and ecological values, and generally for larger contiguous habitats, which are easier to manage and make more sense for our ownership. And we are looking always at the ecological and social importance of these lands and whether or not they are enhanced by our ownership. The general overview of the acquisition steps are the scoping and need. So the our biologists and folks are out there on the ground knowing what our species and habitat needs are, and knowing and looking for places where there's matches, where we might potentially look at owning lands for the values that they would present to those habitats and species that we are in charge of stewarding. And then the Lands 2020 process is the process by which we have internal applications and statewide vetting about projects. Once there's approval for that, then we have approval to pursue funding. Once we have funding in hand for our acquisitions, then we actually do the land transaction body of work that our real estate shop does, and then the lands go into our ownership and are integrated into the body of management of our staff on the ground. So just to emphasize again, we are in the Lands 2020 and funding steps fairly early in this process. What I have for you is 9 projects today. Interestingly, 5 of them are in Region 2 and 4 of them are in Region 6. So Regions 2 and 6 are very active in their opportunities this time around, and the other ones are not. Every year is different. First project is in Douglas County, Mid-Columbia Central Ferry Canyon, a little over 2,000 acres. These lands, as you can see, would be additions to an existing unit there, and they provide connectivity, especially for sharp-tailed grouse, in a critical area connecting Douglas, Okanagan, and Lincoln counties. This project would benefit the sharp-tailed grouse as well as greater sage grouse and mule deer, and provide hunting, wildlife viewing, and other recreational opportunities. That's about as much as I'm probably going to stay on these projects to stay within my 10 to 15. And you have all these in your... in your packets as well. The next project takes us to Grant County, an addition to Lake Lenoir, to our Sun Lakes unit. And this is a transfer from State Parks. So State Parks has this little isolated unit that would provide us access to the lake itself. It would reduce public confusion over ownership and policy and rules consistency there. And it also offers a potential opportunity to develop a shooting range. So these are all the words. I'm probably just going to show you the pictures because I'm telling you the words. The next project is the first of three in Okanagan County, and you may be surprised by that. It's been a while since we've been in front of you with any projects in Okanagan County. The staff there, and particularly Jim Brown, has been doing really great work collaborating with the community up there, and all three of these projects are supported by all three of the county commissioners in Okanagan County. The first one is 730 acres, McLaughlin Falls. We're partnering with the Colville Confederated Tribe on this one, as well as the Okanagan Land Trust. It's got 2.25 miles of the Okanagan River with intact healthy riparian habitat, as well as upland shrub step habitat. Supports mule deer, shrub step obligate species, as well as fish species including summer and fall chinook, steelhead, and Pacific lamprey. As you can see, it's adjacent there to an existing wildlife unit. The next one is Scotts Creek Additions. This is a really interesting one. It is sort of a trade and a transfer. So the hashed pieces there is about 88 acres of irrigated agriculture that we own that is being farmed by a producer that owns the other lands that are on that page. So the yellow, which is an inholding of intact shrub step habitat in our lands, about 200 acres. And the idea is to basically trade one those pieces for each other so that the producer would own the irrigated ag and we would own this inholding of shrub step habitat. The benefits to sharp-tailed grouse and overall ability to manage the wildlife area, and it's a benefit and of interest to the lessee. Golden Doe project is an inholding within our Metow wildlife area, so highly popular recreation area. That the inholding itself would provide access from the highway to a popular place. It already has some development of that access site. So the primary benefit to this one is that access and the recreation to this unit that folks like to get to. And the habitat itself will need a little bit of restoration. Again, all three of those supported by the Okanagan County Commissioners with voiced concern over the issues of pilt and operation and maintenance. So those are issues that we are committed to working on. I did just hear today that we do have a pilt hearing in Ways and Means at 1:30. I'm very excited about that. Continue to make progress. Now we're going to go to a completely other part of the state, Region 6, and look at some other projects. This is 216 acres, Twins, Nearshore, and West Twin. Really interesting project with 2,800 linear feet of critical Strait of Juan de Fuca shoreline. Provides a migratory corridor for salmon, winter steelhead, and coho. Both the shoreline and the riparian habitat are important for those species. Also supports kokanee, resident cutthroat, coastal cutthroat, fall chum, and there are over 16 acres of nearshore habitat. It's a pretty cool project. Eelgrass beds, smelt spawning beaches, got surf smelt, Pacific lamprey, red sea urchin, Dungeness crab. There's a flight corridor for marbled murrelet that are nesting further up in the watershed, and lots of recreation, so crabbing, smelt fishing, surfing, photography, hiking, trail running, potential for hunting as well. Good partnership with the North Olympic Land Trust, who owns some conservation easements adjacent to this as well. Like I said, that pretty much says everything I already just said. The next one is 0.76 acres at the very tippy top here in yellow adjacent to our Duckabush unit. This would be a transfer from the Hood Canal Salmon Recovery or Salmon Enhancement Group, and it's an important piece of the ability to restore these tideland wetlands and to connect the uplands to them, providing critical habitat, nursery habitat for juvenile salmon, and overall benefits to Hood Canal summer Puget Sound, Chinook, and Chinook with regards to the estuary restoration, which is a piece of this. or this is a critical piece in order to do. Two projects left, I believe. Grays Harbor County, 257 acres. So there's a big chunk in yellow to the northern piece there, and then there's another chunk. So the bigger chunk is kind of mudflat habitats, and the chunk further to the west there is more forested uplands. This would also be a transfer. This is currently owned by Forterra. It's got designated critical habitat for bull trout and American green sturgeon. Also supports dusky Canada geese, western grebe, and marbled godwit, and is a great place for duck hunting as well. Provides some opportunities for management efficiencies with those adjacent parcels that we own and manage. And because of the coastal location, the habitats are able to help mitigate the effects of sea level rise. It's part of the value. The last project is the Lower Big Beef Creek project. This project is on Kitsap Peninsula. It's a highly urbanizing area. This is the largest, most intact watershed in Kitsap County. This would also be a transfer from Hood Canal Salmon Enhancement Group. This land is currently for sale. It's an intensively monitored watershed. We've actually had a fish weir there since 1970, and those data sets are pretty invaluable in terms of the salmon adults and smolts and marine survival. And also, they've been critical in developing harvest models for Hood Canal. There's also been quite a bit of restoration in this watershed, and so those data are critical in order to actually demonstrate the impact and the value of that restoration. So benefits of this one to Puget Sound steelhead and Hood Canal summer's chum, as well as cutthroat trout, fall chum, coho salmon, Puget Sound Chinook salmon, purple martin, and northern spotted owls. So that's what I have. I forgot to mention that the public comment, so we have a 3-week open public comment period. These have been on the web for 3 weeks, just ending on Tuesday. We had over 51 comments came in. The bulk of those, 41 of the 51 were from the Okanagan projects. 40 of those 41 were in support. So that's kind of a turning of the tide from what we have seen sometimes in the past. In general, the support was overwhelming. Support for enhanced open space and outdoor recreation, for the connectivity values for habitat, for wildlife, and enhanced habitat and species protection, as well as the public access component. The handful of... I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 concerns were, some of them may have been a little bit of confusion with the Scotch Creek addition. That was the transfer with the agricultural irrigated lands, a concern about that impacting a parking lot. There was concern with the Lake Lenora addition about potential lead contamination issues if we had a shooting range there. And then the Grays Harbor Shoreline Project, someone was concerned about potential risk if there were to be a tsunami. And there were overall I think 2 that spoke to generally not being supportive of more public land ownership. So that's what I've got. Not sure what my timing was, but so the next steps, again, this is a briefing. The next steps are director's approval of the suite of projects, pending any concerns on any of them individually. And then the project proponents will move forward with grant applications, which, if they're successful, will do real estate transactions and start managing these lands.
I think there's a couple of questions. Commissioner Graybill?
First of all, Cynthia, it's very good news to hear the shift in attitude in Okanagan County and good, much improved relationships with county commissioners in that region.
Absolutely.
That's been a long time coming. The other question had, and this is in regard to Pilton Maintenance Bill, are those in the same bill, or is PILT being dealt with separately?
So there's two things going on with PILT right now. There's a budget component and a policy component.
Okay.
The policy bill did not get finalized because we had to get an equation methodology that was supported by all the assessors. That didn't come together till December. So the budget request that we requested is $762,000. It's in the governor's budget, our full request. The PILT policy bill, which moves the payments into the treasurer's office, allows counties to keep fees, fines, and forfeitures, along with PILT, extends it to all the counties, and it has that consistent methodology. That bill, it depends on how it's phased in, and we're currently working on amendments to determine which level of phasing is going to be acceptable to the legislature.
All right.
So the cost could vary, but it is bigger. If you do everything all at once, it's bigger than what's in the governor's budget.
But it is progressing.
It's being heard in House in the Senate Ways and
That's
Means
right.
today at 1:30.
Wonderful. That's really good news. And
yeah.
keep my fingers crossed that we can move that over to Treasury.
Yeah.
And appreciate the work you've done to make that happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Commissioner.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Nice quick overview, Cynthia. So I guess my question is I think it was last commission meeting, if I'm not mistaken, in February, you gave an update on the ongoing work as far as the true maintenance costs so I guess my question is you know, as this Land 2020 process moves forward and you make decisions, is the department going to be using that updated estimate for maintenance costs then?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We've already begun doing that in the suite of projects that were that are currently under grant consideration, where we put in the capital budget request the real O&M cost that we are projecting, and we intend to then put that into our maintenance level budget request.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay.